one.
All right, we're going to break into that report to go live to the Ramstein Air Base in Germany, where politicians and military experts from up to 40 countries are meeting to discuss the next steps for Ukraine. Among them, the U.S. Defense Secretary Lloyd Austin, who's speaking. Let's listen in.
To set us up for what I believe will be a very, very good session today. So thank you all for rallying so quickly for this historic meeting of the Ukraine Defense Consultative Group. It is an extraordinary gathering with more than 40 countries represented here today. And we're here to help Ukraine win the fight against Russia's unjust invasion and to build up Ukraine's defenses for tomorrow's challenge. As you know, I came here after traveling to Kyiv with my friend, Secretary of State Blinken. We had a warm and candid and productive discussion with President Zelensky and his team about the support that we're providing and the capabilities that Ukraine needs and Ukraine's changing requirements as the battle shifts to the Donbas and to the south. Now, that visit only underscored my sense of urgency, an urgency that I know that we all share. So I'd like this whole group today to leave with a common and transparent understanding of Ukraine's near-term security requirements, because we're going to keep moving heaven and earth so that we can meet them. And as you'll hear from General Walters, the coordination mechanism that we have in place can become even stronger with all of your help. And we can do more through our defense industrial bases to continue to help Ukraine defend itself even more capably. Now, we're joined today by my dear friend, Ukrainian Minister of Defense, Reznikov. Sir, it's an honor to have you here. And we welcome your team as well. We're all here because of Ukraine's courage, because of the innocent civilians who have been killed, and because of the suffering that your people still endure. Your country has been ravaged. Your hospitals have been bombed. Your citizens have been executed. Your children have been traumatized. But Ukraine has done a magnificent job defending its sovereignty against Russia's unprovoked invasion. And Ukraine's valor and skill will go down in military history. You know, the Battle of Iwo Jima took 36 days. The Battle of the Bulge lasted 40 days. And Ukraine has now beaten back the Russian military for 62 days. And so, your resistance has brought inspiration to the free world, and even greater resolve to NATO, and glory to Ukraine. We provided our assistance at record speed, and the whole world can see the difference that's making on the battlefield. You know, Putin never imagined that the world would rally behind Ukraine so swiftly and surely. And after Ukraine's defeat at the Battle of Kyiv, after Russia's defeat at the Battle of Kyiv, big distinction there, Mr. Minister, the war is now entering a new phase. But nobody is fooled by Putin's pretext or by his phony claims on the Donbas. So let's be clear. Russia's invasion is indefensible, and so are Russian atrocities. We all start today from a position of moral clarity. Russia is waging a war of choice to indulge the ambitions of one man. Ukraine is fighting a war of necessity, indefensible. And so are Russian atrocities. We all start today from a position of moral clarity. Russia is waging a war of choice to indulge the ambitions of one man. Ukraine is fighting a war of necessity to defend its democracy, its sovereignty, and its citizens. But the stakes reach beyond Ukraine and even beyond Europe. Russia's invasion is baseless, reckless, and lawless. It is an affront to the rules-based international order. It is a challenge to free people everywhere. And as we see this morning, nations of goodwill from around the world stand united in our resolve to support Ukraine in its fight against Russia's imperial aggression. And that's the way it should be. This gathering reflects the galvanized world. Since Russia's invasion on February 24th, more than 30 of our allies and partners from across the globe have joined the United States to rush security assistance to Ukraine. And together, we have committed more than $5 billion of equipment to support Ukraine's self-defense. And that includes some $3.7 billion that President Biden has committed to help Ukraine since Russia's invasion began. My trip to Kyiv reinforced my admiration for the way that the Ukrainian armed forces are deploying these capabilities. Ukraine clearly believes that it can win, and so does everyone here. Now, to inform our common understanding of the situation, you'll be hearing later from several of my teammates, including our chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff, General Milley, and I look forward to hearing from all of you as well. I know that we're all determined to do everything we can to meet Ukraine's needs as the fight evolves. And that includes talking today about a framework for continuing to work together and look ahead. We have much more to do. Ukraine needs our help to win today, and they will still need our help when the war is over. As President Biden says, our security assistance has gone directly to the front lines of freedom and to the fearless and skilled Ukrainian fighters who are standing in the breach. My Ukrainian friends, we know the burden that you all carry. And we know, and you should know, that all of us have your back. And that's why we're here today, to strengthen the arsenal of Ukrainian democracy. I'm proud to be here with all of you, and I look forward to our vital discussions. And so we'll pause for a minute and allow our colleagues in the media to depart, and then we'll continue. Thank you very much.
All right, that was U.S. Defense Secretary Lloyd Austin there speaking at the Ramstein Air Base in Germany. Politicians and military experts from up to 40 countries meeting there to discuss the next steps for Ukraine. Also at the Ramstein Air Base is Al Jazeera's Step Varsen. Step, what's this meeting all about?
Yeah, Austin has called it historical, and it is indeed very unusual to have an international meeting at the U.S. largest air base with outside of the United States. It definitely gives a sign to Europe that it should step up its support, according to the U.S., to Ukraine. As you say, more than 40 nations are invited. It's not only NATO nations, all the defense ministers from NATO are here, but also beyond that, there are countries in Asia, countries in the Middle East, and from Africa are invited. And what is also significant here is that it's at the Ramstein Air Base in Germany. And Germany has been criticized for not doing enough, not sending weapons, not sending heavy weapons, most particularly, to Ukraine. And it's interesting also to know that Germany seems to have made this turnaround just ahead of this very important meeting by saying that they're now going to send Gepard tanks to Ukraine. It's different than Ukraine had asked for initially. And until last week, until yesterday even, Germany was saying they were not going to send these tanks to Ukraine. They were worried that Germany would be involved in a war with Russia, which they definitely wanted to prevent. Also, the German chancellor has warned for this Third World War. He was worried about nuclear weapons being used. But now Germany, under pressure from the United States, has confirmed that they're going to send these heavy weapons as well, which is quite significant. But there will be also talks about longer-term security support for Ukraine, not only immediate, but also for the long term. What is NATO and all these countries, this broad coalition for the defense of Ukraine, going to do to help Ukraine to have these security guarantees? That's all on the table. Reznikov, the defense minister of Ukraine, is here, as Austin has said. But also NATO's chief, Jens Stoltenberg, is here. They will all speak later on, and we will hear from them in a couple of hours.
All right, Step, for the moment, many thanks indeed. Al Jazeera, Step Vassen there, live at the Ramstein Air Base in Germany.